I'm going to take just a couple of more minutes, simply because it's pertinent for what's coming up this week. We have been, we started last week with the first of a series on the Feast of Tabernacles, and I want to just give a few minutes this morning to tie it in. Now, a lot of people use the feasts legalistically in the body of Christ. There are some who beat Christians over the head and say, if you're not on God's calendar, you're not right in the Lord, and it's legalistically applied. And the heart behind our study from the Word of God is one thing, to see Jesus. We've come here to see Him and to allow the Word of God to be applied richly to our lives. And when we study the Word, it gives us an understanding of culture and context. The feasts were celebrated by those New Testament Christians. Remember, when they gave their life to the Lord, they were called out of Jewish or Hebrew perspectives into being fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Jesus celebrated the Feast of Tabernacles. And so there's understanding, there's perspective. But it's not designed to be legalistic. It's designed to give us a heart of understanding the heart of God. How many know God loves His people? Come on, I said, how many know God loves His people? And the whole perspectives of the feast was He gathered the men together and their families would come 3 times a year to Jerusalem because He wanted a big party. It was all about, come on, let's go celebrate. How many love parties? Come on, turn to each other and say, I know you're a party hound. But it's all about the party in the Lord as He gathers us together. We're saved by grace through Jesus Christ, washed by His blood. You're not saved by legalism. You'll never get there by legalism. How many thank God for the good news of Jesus Christ? So we're saved by His grace, but there's something as we look into the Word of God that changes our hearts, opens our understanding to see a little bit more. I'm going to just cover a tiny bit of ground that I did last week as well. Feast of Tabernacles, part 2. Now, are you what? What does that sign say?
Ready.
Are you ready? Are you ready for what Jesus wants to do? Now, every generation has said, the Lord's coming soon. But how many of you know we really know the Lord's coming soon?
Yeah.
Or maybe we should say, we need the Lord to come soon.
Yeah.
But we don't walk around fearful. We walk around faithful because He is doing great things. In my heart, I'm trusting God, believing God, crying out to God for a fresh revival to pour out from one end of our nation to another. I am asking God, who can be the only one who heals the chaos with His righteousness and His love and His life. And in the name of Jesus, I believe God's got good news. Someone say amen.
Amen.
Are you ready? 10 virgins. 5 foolish who ran out of. Now notice something. They were all virgins in that perspective, in that scripture. And they had oil, but ran out. How many want to be the 5 wise who keep their oil flowing in the Lord? Staying in the Word, staying in His grace, walking with Him day by day. It's not enough to say, I gave my life to the Lord 20 years ago. What happens is, are you walking with Jesus today by His good news, His grace? Are you ready for what He's going to do? What are the feasts? Why study this? What's there for us in the feasts? The Leviticus says, the feasts of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, these are my feasts. 6 days shall work be done. Now notice, a lot of people put together parties. There are a lot of holidays people do. But God says, these are the ones I chose. These are mine, my feasts. 6 days shall the work be done, but the 7th day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, a holy convocation. You shall do no work on it. It's the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. These are the feasts of the Lord, holy convocations, which you shall proclaim at their appointed time. Convocations, appointed. Convocations is the Hebrew word mikra. Say it with me, mikra. And the bottom line of what God is doing through the feast. And so when we study it, we're studying to see something. We want to see Jesus. We want to see God's heart, not just a legalistic application. And the whole point of it is they were dress rehearsals for what God wanted to fulfill spiritually. Naturally, something happened. Spiritually, God's got a plan. Moed, the appointed times, the Moed. They were signs, seasons. They were appointments with the Lord as they came to meet with God. Now let's look and see for just a few minutes, what is it Jesus wants to do? Deuteronomy 16:16. Three times a year, all your males shall appear before the Lord your God in the place which he chooses, at the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of Weeks, the Feast of Tabernacles. They shall not appear before the Lord empty-handed. Again, we're going to just quickly go through these. There's harvests. Why do we even study these? There's the spring feast. Passover. How many know the Paschal Lamb was slain at Passover? Are you aware that Jesus Christ himself was slain right at the time of Passover? How many think that's accidental? There was unleavened bread. Unleavened bread, they would profusely go through their houses as Jewish people to get rid of every last bit of leaven. And they had these little scrapers and they would scrape between the boards to get rid of every last bit of leaven. And the whole purpose, leaven was a type in the Bible of sin and pride. And they would get rid of all their sin as they faced with God. And it was a type of Jesus being buried, who died for our what? For our sins. So then you have the Feast of First Fruits. And first fruits would take place. And you know what first fruits was? It was the barley harvest. And they'd take the first fruits of that harvest and they'd wave it before the Lord. Fulfilled in Jesus, who was the first fruits, the Bible says, of our resurrection. How many thank God you're going to be resurrected with Jesus? If you haven't given your life to the Lord, I urge you to do so. There'll be a resurrection day coming if you surrender to the Lord. Then the summer harvest is Pentecost, Penta 50. Penta simply means 50. 50 days after Passover was Pentecost. And then you come into the fall harvest. And all of these harvests, those first four, had spiritual fulfillments because what happened on Pentecost? Acts chapter 2, the Spirit of the Lord is poured out. What happened the first Pentecost? Moses goes into the mount, receives the law of the Lord, and he receives the instructions that basically makes Israel as a nation. But on Pentecost, in Acts 2, the Spirit of God is poured out, 3,000 are saved, and the church is born, basically, as a new covenant nation with God. Come on, are you glad for that?
Yeah.
But then there's spiritual things, trumpets. Why am I even going to go into this? Because it's coming up. Tomorrow in the natural calendar. All right? There are things to learn. Trumpets. So, Feast of Trumpets is also called Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah. The calling of God. And it's all about the calling of God to get ready for the Day of Atonement. Now listen, there were 10 days of awe that they were to celebrate or face getting ready to see Jesus. Now to see God. Now look, what's the spiritual fulfillment of that? Thank God, as we humble ourselves and repent of our sins and surrender to Jesus and ask him into our heart, we go through, he already went through shock and awe, right? He already went through all that for us, and we get to surrender to him because he's the one. Now, what happened on the Day of Atonement? Anybody remember? Remember? The high priest, one day a year, would go in and sprinkle the blood before the ark in the most holy place, representing the people of God. Jesus went in to the Father with the blood, washing us clean. How many thank God you're here today because of what Jesus has done? I said, how many thank God you're here today because of what Jesus has done? He's the one who atoned for us. He's the one who made us at one-ment, at one with God. Jesus did that work. And then we come to the Feast of Tabernacles. This is the last celebration of the year where all the fruits come in and it's a party. What do you do after you've done a play? You have a rap party. God's saying, it's time. Remember the old song, where all of God's sinners come home. There's a celebration that takes place when all the folks come home in the presence of the Lord. Feast of Tabernacles. The Paschal Lamb is slain. Jesus is that. Feast of Unleavened Bread. He's buried. Sin is put away. First fruits of the resurrection is our Lord. Pentecost. Moses in the Mount fulfilled at the day of Pentecost when the Spirit's poured out on the church is born. Rosh Hashanah, the Feast of Trumpets, the trumpet sound, the shofar sounds, and it's basically God's people getting ready. The day this year for that to take place, again, I just want you to be aware because there's spiritual fulfillments, but October 3rd and 4th is the time for Rosh Hashanah. Yom Kippur comes. 10 days later, the Day of Atonement, when the high priest goes in, and then the final celebration of the year. But remember, on the feast of Yom Kippur, there's the slain goat and the scapegoat. Jesus, like the goat who had hands laid upon him and the sin imputed to that goat, Jesus took the sins of the nation, of all of us, upon himself. And the other goat was led out into the wilderness, pushed over, basically bottom line, if you look in the commentaries, pushed over backwards over a cliff to fall onto craggy rocks below. How many, thank God, sins are separated from you as far as the east is from the west? How many thank God that the devil and demons were defeated at the cross of Calvary in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus? How many thank God? Amen. Sin, the devil, demons, all defeated in Jesus Christ. There's a picture for all of that for us. Then he gathers us in. The final time of the year. The Feast of Tabernacles. And like I did last week, I'm going to stop right there. And I'll get you another hybrid for the PowerPoint. Some people have asked me in the past, Pastor Kev, can we get copies of your notes? Dan is putting on the website, gracechristiancenter.us, the overhead PowerPoints now with the messages. So some of you, if you want to rehearse the things we've talked about, they'll be there. But this all about, you guys, this isn't about just studying some Jewish feasts over in Israel. This is seeing, is there any application for our hearts today? But most of all, there's so many cool things. And next week we'll come back to talking about it again. There are so many cool things. Jesus stood up the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles and did some magnificent things on that day that you and I are thankful for today. So, if you want to hear more, come back next week. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to celebrate in your house together. Lord, we thank you for our friends who have come, the Morrisseys this morning, who have shared with us the good news and the power of the Word of God. We thank you, Lord, for all that you do and you keep doing for us. Lord, we're so grateful to be saved by grace. We are so grateful to be your people. This morning, we return with hands uplifted to give you praise. And we worship you in Jesus' name. And they all said, if you have not given your life to the Lord Jesus, I urge you this morning to do so. It's a day to celebrate in Jesus. And if you have done that, it's time to go out thanking God even more for His Word that changes your life. We're going to celebrate one of the whole aspects of the Feast of Tabernacles of what Jesus did is the Feast of Illumination. As He shines the light, He says, you are the light of the world. Do you know when he said that? At the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles. 75-foot tall candelabras full of the oil of anointing are burning in these four bold sticks that go 75 feet into the air. The light was seen for 30 to 40 miles. The Jews said Jerusalem was the light of the world. With that burning and those lamps burning, Jesus stands up and everybody, talk about an example of teaching by a picture vivid in front of them. Jesus stands up the last day of the feast, the lights are burning, and he goes, hey, I'm the light of the world. Do you think they had an object lesson in front of them? Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus is the light we see in the Word of God. So when you go out today, go out celebrating that His light, His life is in your heart and in the Word of God. Go out, celebrate the good news of Jesus. Amen? Amen. Lord, we bless your people today. We thank you for the privilege of being yours. We pray that you will be exalted with everything we think, do, and say. As we leave here this day, we leave here with joy in your presence. We worship you in the name of Jesus. And they all said,
amen.
Would you raise your hands for the blessing, please? The amazing grace of the Master, Jesus Christ, the extravagant love of God, the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. That's 2 Corinthians 13, verse 14. Be with all of you in Jesus' name. God bless you. Be released in the presence of the Lord.